plate a potential nugget.
Pramatha, picking up from some of the stuff you discussed, you're a person who has a unique insight at two different levels. One is at the education level, when people are graduating, and then at the leadership level, given the work you do. Given the changes that are happening in the education system and in the world of leadership, I'd be curious to know how people should think about educational choices. In a way, at Ashoka, you have an insight into liberal arts, women's education. At ISB, you have an insight into B-School. And I'm curious about two or three trends we are seeing, Pramath. One is, the timing of education. Earlier, it was sort of study, work, retire. It was very distinct. But now, clearly, it seems education and learning is more of a journey than a one-off. Second, when I look at the nature of education, it seems to be unbundled from clunky degrees to, you know, bespoke courses people can configure along the way. So how should somebody in the 10th or 11th or 12th think about direction? And how should people think about it as they go through their journey?
Yeah, you could come at this from either end, right? But the two are connected. The leadership that's required for people to be successful in the future and the preparation through education that is needed for them to be successful in the future or be good leaders in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe we start with the end of at the end of what's required going forward. And, you know, different people have said different things about, but the essence of it is that, one, we really don't know, but two, it's very clear that the, at least for the very best of people, the challenges that they are going to face are going to be fairly ambiguous, and it's not going to be solvable, as it were, with just taking one approach.
Yeah,
and so to be successful, you have to recognize that you aren't going to be able to solve the problem that you're going to be faced with or challenged with by yourself, by one approach that you learned, that you're going to have to look at things from a multidimensional perspective, multidisciplinary perspective, that you may be wrong in what you come up with, and you have to have the ability to adapt and be flexible and to adopt other strategies, and that you have to pull in other people to help you solve the problem, because by definition, the problem will not be solvable by you alone.
Yep.
And in very short order, you will have to very quickly re-educate or educate yourself about the domain that you're getting into and almost do multiple PhDs throughout your career. Other people say this in another way, which is that, you know, you're not going to have one career, but you're going to have half a dozen careers
right. In
your life.
Right.
And over time, maybe even more as the world changes faster and faster. So the question becomes that with these kinds of problems, with these expectations of a leader tomorrow, with these kinds of career progressions, what do you do by way of education?
Yep.
So coming back to that end, I think it's you've already alluded to some of that. One is that you have to break away from this obsession about specialization. And this is not to say that specialization is not good, but that specialization and generalization or breadth and depth are more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You need depth, of course, because you need to understand what it takes to go deep into a problem quickly and rapidly, which is now become the ask.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we are saying, oh, everybody should be a generalist. Absolutely not. You must know how to specialize, but you must know how to specialize rapidly and have many specializations in your life. At the same time, you need to have the ability to have a broader perspective, which comes from the breadth. And I think that's where this whole debate between liberal arts and STEM has come from. And I think it's a false debate and mm-hmm. it's a false trade-off. You need both.
Hmm.
And that has always been what education was about. But particularly here in India, with the post-independence focus on developing the technical capability of the country,
right.
We went too far in that direction, and we haven't corrected that at all. And the liberal arts colleges and universities have declined at the expense of because of the growth of the technical fields. So I think bringing in breadth and liberal arts, which is somewhat what we are trying to do at Ashoka, or what I've done at Vedika in combining it with business and doing something else with architecture and liberal arts and so on. So both specialization and generalized education is extremely important. I think the second bit of this, which is very important, and I think this goes to the heart of when people say, how come people in India, the same people don't do as much innovation or don't create products, mm-hmm. Or don't do breakthrough scientific discoveries as they would in the United States or in other parts of the world when they have the same basic education and genes and DNA. I think the fundamental issue with that is that at the lowest level of our education and going all the way up to the highest level, we are not providing people choice. Mm. And the fundamental choice of being able to choose what you study. Mm. People often counter that and say, well, how do people ever know? And it's true, people never know. But the act or the
process of going through it. Yeah.
Yes. The process of going through having to make a choice is a very big part of education and mindset in terms of risk taking and pushing thinking and really identifying what are you passionate about.
Right.
And I for a long time now, I believe that unless you are happy doing what you're doing or passionate doing what you're doing, you don't have breakthrough performance or breakthrough thinking. So here, what has ended up happening is that we are constantly at every stage forcing people to choose based on their performance in an exam, the marks they got, the rank they got, and so on. Moreover, once you choose something, you are stuck. So even if you come to the conclusion that, oh, I chose something that I was perhaps not right about, didn't really know, but now realize is not right, you can't switch. So if you get into a program at an IIT and you're studying metallurgical engineering, which is what I did, and you're hating it, and you can't really do anything about it.
Right, right. The switching costs are high. Right?
Switching costs are, it's zero. Infinite.
Infinite.
You cannot change.
Yeah.
Right. So the point is that, you not only do you get stuck, you don't have any flexibility. So this combination of choice and flexibility is really what I think is, along with this point about having breadth along with depth is really what we need to bring into our education system to allow our young people to prepare for that world we talked about.
Got it. And if I were to make this question tactical, if I'm an individual who sort of finished my 10th and I have the universe of options staring at me, law, commerce, finance, engineering, liberal arts, and so on. When people come and ask you the question, are there one or two questions you ask them to reflect on, which will help the broad choice?
Yes, first thing I do is I ask them to listen to what their children are saying, rather than deciding for them. And that I see is a huge problem because, I think our parents were much less concerned about what we were doing, even though at that time, I think it was very important.
It was a bigger deal, possibly. Yeah.
But today what has happened is, ironically, even with the large number of choices in careers, the choices in education are very limited still.
Interesting.
So that forces people to become very, very focused on saying, oh, I have to decide, right? The first thing I really ask them is, are you deciding for your kid or do they really want to study law? And often you will find kids who are very clear that they're very excited about being a lawyer, and if that's really what they want to do, and honestly, between you and me, objectively, they may not know.
True.
But the important part is that they are excited about it and they want to pursue it. And so first and foremost, just clarifying that. Then if you end up on the other side where the person doesn't know, I then start by saying, listen, it's okay that you don't know. There's nothing wrong with that, because otherwise people are under pressure that they are confused or they don't know.
They ought to know the answer. Yeah.
They ought to know, and how come they don't know, and so on. So taking that pressure off and then helping them understand that, honestly, what you specialize in will not matter. In fact, this whole thing about specializing in a subject and then being in a career and the line to that, as you know, is tenuous. It happens sometimes, but increasingly happens less and less. And so while it's important to major in something, it's not really that important to major in the right thing.
That's a good point.
And so that kind of releases the tension of a lot of parents and children when they realize, or sometimes they don't, but most of times you can actually show the parents themselves that what they major in and what they're doing now has no connection.
It puts the choice in perspective, right?
Correct. And so that then opens up a whole host of possibilities about what this kid could do. And I think that's when you move to the point of saying, okay, so what are your choices really?
Got it.
There are a host of choices. I mean, you could choose to go just study science or psychology or history or go abroad or stay in India. And it takes the pressure of having to get the decision right. So I think those are the kind of, that I didn't give you the 3-4 questions, but I think that's the thought process of very tactically of what you go through.
And also interesting, it's also about setting the right climate in which the choice is made, right?
Yes.
And as a parent, I guess,
yes,
it's also important to set the right climate where the pressure is taken off,
and
as you said.
A lot of times, to be fair, the pressure is also on the parents, right? Because they're looking at their peers, and some of their peers are sending, now we have people sending their kids to high school in the UK for some reason, or... And it's like, okay, now what's happening here? And so they are all wondering whether they are doing something not right by their kids, by not sending them, and so on. So I think there's a lot of pressure on parents also. And so you kind of, by just first easing that peer pressure, you are helping them think.
Got it. I remember a conversation when I was a management consultant in the UK. And one of my team members was a young graduate from Oxford with a major in political sciences. And I remember asking him, why would a consulting firm like McKinsey hire political science graduates? And his response was that a political science degree equips you to solve complex, fuzzy, open-ended problems than a degree in engineering, which often equips you to solve tough, closed-ended problems. That was an aha moment for me. India's probably a few years behind in terms of acceptance of other disciplines into fields like consulting. But the point Pramath makes about the tenuous link between the educational qualifications and the profession is a profound one. The key takeaway for me here is that one is better off focusing on equipping the child with the decision-making and iteration capability that will equip the child for navigating the future than trying to over-finesse the decision beyond a point. In a lot of ways, the disciplines that emphasize the right brain capabilities might actually be better at equipping the children to deal with the future we are growing into. If this topic is of interest, you might like the book by Dan Pink titled A Whole New Mind, Why Right Brainers Will Rule the World. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com or subscribe on iTunes and other podcast apps.